The presence of the Lord is truly in this place. How many of you feel real good right now? Come on, won't you just bless the name of the Lord? Come on, he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Come on, I said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come on, somebody, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Maybe some of you have been magnifying the wrong thing throughout the week. But right now, you got an opportunity to magnify the Lord. And the good thing I love about God is he'll go ahead and accept your praise. Amen. Even though you waited too long to give it to him. Thank you, Lord. Let me be expeditious today. So let's go to our word. Because I feel something about to jump off in here. Amen. Y'all know how it is. It's good when you can feel it before it happens. Praise God, praise God. It gives you an eager anticipation to see what's next. Tell your neighbor you're in the right place at the right time, and God has a word for you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We want to go to our scripture reading today. We're going to continue our series from last week. This is part two of In Hot Pursuit. Amen. Has anybody been in hot pursuit this week? Yeah. You've been in hot pursuit. Amen. And from last week, some of you have changed the thing you've been in pursuit of. Hallelujah. That now you have a different focus of where you're heading and what you're trying to get to. Let's go to our scripture today. We will start with Jeremiah chapter 29, reading verses 12 and 13 from the NLT. Are you ready, Lady Lane?
In those days, when you pray, I will listen.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Gosh. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me.
Woo! Tell your neighbor I'm in hot pursuit.
I'm in hot pursuit.
Because if you look for me wholeheartedly,
you'll find me.
Subtopic, the benefits of love.
Yeah.
Woo! Anybody ever been in love before?
Yeah.
Didn't that thing have some benefits?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. I mean, even man is able to give you some stuff when they love you.
Yeah.
There's always some benefits to real love. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I got to do this today. I really got to do this. Y'all pray for me. But I don't want to go too far or too deep back into last week's lesson, but I want to kind of just jog your memory slightly if you give me that opportunity this morning. But Isaiah was talking in chapter 55, and we were dealing with verse 6. And Isaiah was talking about you ought to seek the Lord. And I came up with this analogy that you ought to almost be running after him. You know, when you chase somebody, that means they're moving too. But you, God is not moving, he's there. Touch your neighbor, say he's right there. He's right there. And the good news is he ain't going nowhere. Can I talk like I want to talk this morning? He's not going anywhere. He'd be right there. So when you seek after you ought to go after the Lord daily. Amen. That blessed me from last week. And listen, this is what God is saying. God is saying, I want you. But do you understand? When God says that he wants us, he's already given us an invitation. And he's waiting on us, son, to accept his invitation. He gave us his son. His son gave us his life. And so God is sitting on his throne and saying, I want you. I'm in love with you. For God so loved the world. In other words, I'm so in love with you that I'll give you my very best. The next time somebody tell you that they love you, I don't want you to doubt it. But if they're not giving you their very best, y'all talk to me if you can. Because some of y'all hanging with some folks who say they love you. And you so glad to have that, you settling. Come on, I need to tell, hunt your neighbor and say, don't settle, don't settle. You know, settling is temporary. It feels good for a moment, but the next week you're crying somewhere. But when they really love you, they give you their very best. And so God says, he says, I warn you, I love you. He said, if you just try me, you'll fall in love with me. Yeah. And God is saying to us this morning, I don't want a temporary fix. Yeah. I want to make a covenant with you. Yeah. Yeah. Woo! You know how it is when you just need a fix.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you really don't know, you really don't care where it come from. Woo! We need to have children in church today. Help me, Holy Ghost. But when you just need a fix, but what God is saying to us this morning is, I want to make a covenant with you. He's saying, I want to love you from now on. I want to love you when you don't fix me breakfast. I want to love you when the supper ain't on the table. I want to love you when you got an attitude. I told y'all to bring your seatbelts today. And that's what God is saying. I just want to love you, and I want you to love me. And I'm willing to make a covenant with you. Look how much God loves. He's willing to make a covenant with us knowing we messed up.
Thank you, Lord.
Listen, God is saying, hell, I want to marry you, and I don't ever want a divorce. If you cheat on me, I'm going to turn and look the other way. I wish I had some help this morning. Who wouldn't want to be in a relationship like that? But some of y'all trying to cheat and you ain't getting away with it. Because honey boo-boo ain't going to turn her back. Oh, no, no. It's going to be some repercussions. You may have to buy you a set of tires. Talk to me if you can. But God is saying, I want to make a covenant with you. And he's so sure about how much he loves us, it is nothing that you can do to break that covenant. Tell your neighbor, if you're looking for love, I know somebody. It ain't even a blind date. He know you too. Woo! You might have never met him, but he know you. He's been watching you a long time. Hey. Tell him he's been watching you a long time. He saw you grow up. He fell in love with you when you was a girl. He fell in love with you when you was a boy. And all he wants you to do is just come where he is. Ooh, hallelujah. Help me this morning. He's never going to stop loving you. In fact, and I hate to go here, but I just want us to get the full picture this morning. If perhaps we go to hell, it's going to break God's heart. Did y'all know that it would literally crush him to see that we didn't accept the invitation? And that's all he wanted us to do. He didn't ask you to get right and then come to church. He said, just accept the invitation. He's saying, I love you just like you are. It's church folk that want you to get right. I love you like you are. Because I understand you can't get right. I've got to make you right. Thank you, Lord. God has been after us a long time when he sent his son. But I want to let you know why the relationship won't work. It cannot be a relationship with one person doing all the work. Anybody ever been in a relationship when it seemed like it was just you? And they were getting benefits, but you weren't. Huh? You washed their clothes while they were at somebody else's house? Help me, y'all, if you can. Anybody ever been in that type of relationship where they roll out your gas money going somewhere else? I mean, I'm just trying to explain love to you. Because love ought to have some benefits, and this thing cannot be one-sided.
No, that's right.
You saying I got to prove my love to them. No, all you got to do is just do what God said do. Because love is to be reciprocated. Everybody know what I'm talking about? If you want love, you got to give love. Love is to be reciprocated. It ought to be coming from both sides. I mean, you know how it was back in the day. A man just wanted a good woman. That's he was gonna do whatever he wanted to do. But I'll be doggone if you was gonna do it. He wanted the benefits of love, huh? Along with his freedom. Well, I need to wake some of you up this morning. This is a brand new age. You might not know it, men, but they ain't going for that no more. You think you all of that in a bag of chips, and they getting some benefits you don't know nothing about. When a woman's fed up. Oh, wait a minute. Watch it. And. The relationship has to work both ways. Thank you, Jesus. And I gave you some points last week. In case you missed them, I'll briefly go over those points and we'll get to our text and we'll go home. But I told you, in order to really go after God, in order to really seek him with your whole heart, there's four things that you need to do. And I'll list them, but I won't go through the details. Number one, you got to think about him. Everybody remember that one? If you love him, you ought to think about him. You ought to think about him so much that the other him can't get in your mind. Y'all will think about that later. Number two, you ought to tell him that you love him. Well, goodness gracious, he ought to know I love him. I'm cooking his food. You know, I'd rather go hungry than eat food with an attitude. But see, I know this is not a relationship comfort, but I got to let you in on something. When you cook food with an attitude, Susie ain't got no attitude with hers. Yeah.
Come on, Pastor.
So just go ahead and tell me I ain't cooking today.
Yeah.
And I'll go make me a sandwich and go to bed. Because I know ain't no benefits coming. Oh, y'all too deep for me today, y'all. So he said you ought to think about him. You ought to tell him that you love him. And then number three is you ought to spend time in his presence. Amen. Spend time in his presence. Even when he's on your nerves. I'm talking about God, but y'all know where I'm going with this. You know, even when it's not the best of circumstances, y'all ought to stay around. Who, even though you ain't getting along, y'all ought to still stay around. Tell your neighbor you can't give the devil no space. Because see, this is what I haven't understood. We say we love God, but we won't spend no time with him. Now let me talk to us real folk. You can't afford to go on a break with your relationship. Because you got to understand, the devil is waiting on you to take a break. I need some space. Honey, do you know that Sister Hoochie don't need much space to get in? And let me go on and make it real for all of these sanctified tongue-talking men. And really, it ain't that hard. It really ain't that hard. We act all holier than thou, and we walk without. But really, if we're in a bad shape, it really ain't that hard. So, honey, don't give them no space. You on my nerves so bad, I'm going to go stay in my mama's house. Baby, you might want to rethink that. And I know where you at, too. And so when we're with God, you got to show him. Spend time in his presence. Spend time. You're not going to always feel like praying, but if you can't say nothing, just say, God, here I am. I'm going to be real with you. I don't even feel like talking, but I don't want to leave where I am, because if I leave where I am, I might start feeling something I'm not supposed to feel. So, God, even though I don't even know what to say to you right now, here I am. And get this, God, I ain't going nowhere. I'm mad, but I'm going to stay right here. I thought you'd have moved in my life by now, but I'm not going nowhere, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so after you stay in his presence, I think the fourth thing that I told you is do everything because you love him. Do everything because you love him. Not because it's an obligation or you feel like it's a duty or even if you feel like it's the right thing to do. Do everything you do for God because you love him. Whether or not your name is on the program, doesn't matter. Do everything you do because you love him. Your church will be better. Your family will be better. Your job, help me, Holy Ghost. How many of you are going to go to work and do your work because you love God? I ain't ask you to love your supervisor because that's between you and him. But you ought to work loving God. God, I'm doing this report right, and I'm not going to leave out anything because I love you. Everybody's on break longer than they should, but I'm going back to work. Woo! Help me, Lord. Because we feel like if somebody else is with us, it's okay. Why? Just because somebody's doing it with you, that don't make it right. If you know you get 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 1 hour, take your behind back to work. I don't care if the whole crew stayed out in the yard, David. You go back to work. Because you are doing the right thing. Say, well, why are you doing this? You love that man? Nah, I love God. Woo! What you doing? Kissing up? No, I'm loving God. I ain't kissing up, I'm kissing on. I'm kissing God. Because when my check ain't enough, God is. Oh, y'all didn't hear that, did you? So I'm going to do it for him. Which brings us to our text. Jeremiah 29 and 12 tells us when we really make up our minds to go after God, when we really start to seek after God, he says something. Then we will call him. When you're really after God, you'll call him. Wait, well, let's just give me just a moment right there. When you really need God, your mouth ain't going to be closed. I want y'all to think about that. You're going to be crying. You're going to need a box of Kleenex. Come on, somebody. Somebody going to have to hold you. They're going to have to pat you. When you really need God, you will not be quiet. How many of you have cried out to God like never before because of your circumstance? Just let your neighbor know God have a way of getting you to talk to him. So you might as well start opening your mouth now so that calamities don't have to come for you to think about God. Here's what I think. You not only have to think about him, and you not only have to go after him, but you have to go after him with your mind and your mouth.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Woo. Well, you see, you don't know what I'm thinking. Yeah. I'm thinking how good he is to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I always kind of had a little problem with that, Reverend. Because when we was in the world, we not only knew what you was thinking, but we knew what was coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Huh? If you was mad, it was more than an expression. You were going to hear something. Terminology, some vernacular, that would equal to what your expression was. So when you're really going after God, don't forget this. Write it down if you have to. You got to go after him with your mind and with your mouth. Because how can you call him without saying nothing? Yeah, this ain't back in the days when you had puppy love and both of y'all on the phone, ain't nobody saying nothing. Once you got past, what you doing? Nothing. What you doing? Nothing. And the next voice, I don't know about y'all, but the next voice I heard, did I tell you to get off that phone? Oh, I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. But when you go after him with your mind, your mouth ought to say what your mind is thinking.
Yeah.
And the next thing is you should not only, you got to go after him with your spirit and your speech. Your spirit and your speech.
Okay.
You know, you ever seen, I'm just bubbling over on the inside.
Yeah.
I feel the Spirit of the Lord on the inside of me. Well, Jeremiah tried that.
Yeah.
And he was bubbling over so much on the inside, he thought he could hold himself, but he said it like fire. Shut up in my bones. So your spirit, your speech ought to match what's in your spirit. Huh? And let me go ahead and take it a step further. When your spirit is exploding in this church, when you get out of here, your speech ought to match what your spirit did in this house. Lord have mercy. Y'all know how it is when you praise in here till somebody cut you off on Texas Avenue and almost tore up Tyler's brand new car and Regina forgot the wrong speech. She said, the man you gave me. So when your spirit is rejuvenated in God, you ought to always make sure that your speech lined up with what you say you feel. And so when you love God in your heart, then your speech ought to make that known to him.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get, what am I doing? I'm trying to get y'all to talk to God. Because when you call him, He told us in his verse, I will answer you. He didn't say, if I have time, if I'm not too busy. He didn't say, maybe next week get back with me. He said, if you call me, I will. Look what he said in this. If you cry out, if you call aloud, if you are in a critical need, a chronic need, I will hear you. How many of you have chronic needs? I didn't say needs. I said needs. How many of you got a chronic problem? Hey, y'all don't want to hear me. Y'all know what Snoop called it. How many of you own that chronic? And the reason why he called it chronic, because he couldn't stop doing it. You know, it won't make no sense, Brother Harris, for folk to smoke weed for 50 years. Now, y'all mighty quiet now. Why they get quiet on me, Reverend? You got chronic. You have a chronic need. Amen. But God says, if you call me, I'll take care of your chronic needs. If your back been hurting for 10 years, that means you got chronic back problems. So you need to do what? Call on God. Thank you, Jesus. If you've been lusting for 10 years, you got a chronic problem. Help me, somebody, if you can anyway. You might as well tell me. If you can't stay out of the local convenience store and you know you need $5 worth of gas, but you buy $5 worth of lottery tickets, you got a problem. I know this time I'm going to hit. And I don't understand it. Maybe y'all can help me if you can. It looks like we don't get disappointed when we scratch in faith and don't hit. We keep on scratching. But the first time God don't do what he said that we think he ought to do, oh, what's wrong with you? God done let me down. But I don't understand why you didn't quit scratching. Thank you, Lord. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't even have to say amen. But I know we got some faith scratchers in here. Some of y'all sat next to a faith scratcher. Amen. And when they get up to about $200-300 million, whatever it be, y'all, you call your mama to ask her what your great grandma's birthday was. What was Mama Lucy's birthday? I'm getting ready to write these numbers. And we do so in faith. All I'm trying to get you to see is the stuff we go after. You go after what you really want. Thank you, Lord. But he said, if you will call me in verse 12, then he said, if you pray. But I want you to see something in that verse. In the place where prayer is being made. See, he is saying you can pray at home, but in this verse he said there's a certain place you're supposed to go where prayer is being made. In other words, what I'm saying, you can be holy at home, but you need to bring your behind to church. Almighty quiet. I talk to him at home, Reverend. Well, I'm just telling you what the verse says. If you will pray in the place where prayer is to be made. I don't know. You ought to want to pray where the anointing is. Because you already know your stuff is jacked up at best. So you ought to want to come and pray where the anointing is going. on your best days, you know your prayer ain't went nowhere. Come, talk to me, somebody. So you all want to come where the anointing is. Thank you, Jesus. He said, if you pray where it ought to be. And then he wants us to talk to him. He said, if you'll talk to me, I will hear you. He says, I've been waiting on you. Some of y'all came today. God just wanted to tell you a message from heaven. I've just been waiting on you to talk to me. And look how loving God is. Guess what he says? We can talk about anything you want to. Woo! You can tell me what's bothering you. You can tell me who's bothering you. You can tell me why you are seeking it rather than me. Come on, somebody. You do know sometimes we seek it. And we seek them. And we seek that. Uh-huh. And he said, you can tell me all of that. He said, I'm not even going to be offended. Because I understand God is saying, if the more you talk to me, the more you'll want to talk to me. Thank you, Jesus. And then he goes on in verse 13 as I get ready to come down. He says, if you seek me, you will find me. You seek me with a fervent spirit. You seek me with diligence. You seek me at every opportunity. You seek me with desire and affection. He says, when you search for me, y'all read the verse in 13, when you search for me with all of your heart, I want to see, where are my God searchers? Who is searching for God? And I need to help you right there so that you don't feel like you're doing a bad job. Even if you got problems, it does not prohibit you from searching. Well, let me mess churchology up real bad. What you did last night don't stop you from searching. Now the folks sitting up in here with you gonna look at you funny and crazy. But you got to search until you find him. And when you find him, if you really want him, he said, you'll find me. He said, you will find me if you really want me. Tell your neighbor, how bad do you want him? If you want him, you'll find him. And guess what? When you find him, he's going to take away some stuff. Wait a minute. I didn't say you had to give it to him. I said he's going to take it. Because the fact that you went after him is indication enough to him that you're tired of being like you are.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Who going out? Who's going after him? Listen, Deacon Wyatt, you've been in this world a long time. 88 and Deacon, just all of them in their 80s. And let me tell you something. When they find God, because all of us are going after him. When they get to him, they ain't going to have much for him to take. Oh, but look down your row. You on my row? Woo, I see some. Oh, glory. And I'm going to get on the road too with the stuff people. Because I told you last week, they have to either bring a turtle dove if their sins were small. You know, a turtle dove is a pigeon. Or they have to bring a lamb if they hadn't done too much. Oh, but people like me. Come on, look down your row. I said, you have to bring an ox. Some of y'all had to bring an ox. But then, you know, that wasn't the end of the story. We had some mofo who was tore up from the floor up that they had to bring a 1,000-pound bull. Oh, yes. Where are the people that have to bring that bull? Don't be shamed. Don't be shamed. Just go ahead and bring the bull anyway. Because you're looking at some people that act like they got pigeon sin. But let me tell you something. They hung up with bull. Woo! If I was at home, I'd never told you what it really is. So you know, a pigeon on they, you know, they ain't got, they don't release much, but a bull, woo! Good Lord. And so if you got a whole lot of stuff to release, you better get a bull for your sacrifice. Quit walking in here trying to fool people. That's what the Pharisees used to do. Let me paint this picture so we can go home. The Pharisees used to get a little bitty cage, 6x6, with a pigeon in it. Walking, looking at them bull folks. Now, doggone, that's a shame. Look at him. They hold a pigeon up so people could see it. And then the person that was coming in with the lamb, they was kind of ashamed. Because they had sinned pretty much all week and they needed a lamb for the sacrifice. But you had this pigeon. Tell somebody, get the pigeons out to church. Get them out to church. And then here come the one with the lamb. They was kind of bent over. And then, y'all, then here I come. I had an ox. Because, man, I had thought some stuff. And, oh, Lord, help me, Holy Ghost. And the one with the pigeon was looking at me like, boy, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. What are you doing that for? Huh? You had to drag the ox by a big rope, because if you didn't, they'd get away from you. And then I looked around and I seen some people coming in with a 1,000-pound bull. I say, good Lord, I don't feel quite so bad now. But at the end of the day, tell your neighbor, at the end of the day, you ought to go after the Lord. Huh? Tell them, you don't have to bring the pigeon. You don't have to bring the lamb. You don't have to bring the ox. You don't have to bring the bull. All the Lord wants is your soul. Tell three people, I'm going after the Lord. I'm going. Hey, I'm going after God. Hey, tell him again, I'm going after the Lord. You can leave your sacrifice at the house. Just bring yourself. And when you get to the altar, say, here I am, Lord. Come on, say it with me. Here I am, Lord. Thank you. Let me close. I gotta close. I gotta close. It's time to bounce. I gotta close. Folk is hungry. They. So we see in Isaiah chapter 55. I want you to back up to verse 1. And if you can, put it on the screen. Sister Media. And we're going to come down and read these scriptures. I'm going to land this plane and we're going home. Isaiah 55, 1 through 3. Are you ready?
Is anyone thirsty?
Yeah.
Come and drink.
Yeah.
Even if you have no money. Come, take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free.
Tell your neighbor the benefits of love. Love don't cost a thing. Come on, here we go. What did he say, number two? What did he say?
Why spend your money on food?
Wait. Read.
Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food.
Tell your neighbor the benefits of love. One more, we're going.
Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David.
One more time, the benefits of love. Be seated as we go. Now God says that if you are thirsty, you need love. How many of you knew that you were thirsty? All you needed was God's love. What is it to be thirsty? Whatever you're longing for, whatever you need, whatever your desires are, God says, if you just come to me, I won't charge you nothing for it. It's free if you just come to me. Because when we thirsty, we go looking for getting our quenched thirst in the wrong places. Amen. Anybody ever got your thirst quenched in the wrong place? And you knew in a little while later you was thirsty again? Amen. I'm not just talking about beverages. I'm talking about body situations. Anybody ever been thirsty? Talk to me. And the one who was supposed to be your drink wasn't nowhere around. Y'all might as well go head on. I told you to get your seatbelt. But see, you don't have to compromise when you go after God. He'll quench your thirst. And you don't even have to sit at the bar. You don't have to go to Twin City Liquors. You don't have to go to Specs. He'll quench your thirst. Huh? You don't have to go to the whole house or the Mo house. He'll quench your thirst. He'll quench your thirst. And the good thing about it, he said, it ain't gonna even cost you nothing. In other words, what he's saying, I don't want anything in return. I just want you. But look what he says. He says, so why would you go other places giving your money represents yourself in this parable. Why would you go other places giving of yourself for something that ain't gonna do you no good? Buckle up. Because if you got to sleep with him for the light bill,
come on.
Help me, Lord.
Come on.
Then he got that big bankroll with a 100 on top and a bunch of ones under the bottom. You don't know. He was barely able to pay that light bill. And you gave up all of your good stuff. Oh, y'all don't want to be right here with me today. For somebody who was faking and shaking. Huh? He said, but I'm offering you something that won't cost you nothing. Let me make it a little bit more relevant. You ain't got to lie on your income tax if you'll just trust God. Because that extra $1,000 is going to cost you in the long run. Come on, somebody. You know they didn't live with you. Help me, Holy Ghost. You know they're not your dependent. And some of you got dependents that ain't yours. Help me, Holy Ghost. Y'all know the story. Mama's baby, daddy's maybe. And so when you hook it, I'm not talking about married couples. I'm talking about these folks you shacking with. Come on. Oh, I didn't say shacking. I meant cohabitating with. Well, I just want to try it out to see how it is. Honey, you've been trying it out for 20 years and you don't know what it is yet. And 4 kids later.
Come on, man.
Now, see, for our visitors, I may be a little unfair because you didn't know you were supposed to bring your seatbelt. But God says, I don't care who your baby daddy is, who he ain't. I just want you to come after me. And he said, I'll marry you. Wait. Let me mess somebody up real bad. I'll marry you, kids and all. He said, your kids gonna get benefits too. Huh? You ain't gotta worry about him telling you that ain't none of my kids know how. He said, if you go after me and marry me, I'll give your kids benefits too. Let me make you happy so I can take away this little feeling you got right now. He says that if you will come after me, you won't even have to buy the stuff you need. Wouldn't that be a good day? Well, you go to the grocery store. I'm talking about heaven's grocery store. And buy wine and milk and it don't cost you nothing. You walk out and don't worry about no security cameras. You walk out and nobody gonna stop you saying what you got. Huh? You walk out and nobody checked your bag. He said, just come and get it and I'll give you your choice. Woo! You know, when you're settling, you got to take what they give you. Whether you like it or not. But when you go after God, he'll give you a choice which one you want. Huh? What brand do you like? Huh? What's your shoe size? What kind of tag you want on your clothes? You ain't got to go to Walmart no more. I'll give you some name brand stuff that won't even cost you nothing. You laid down for stuff that wasn't no good. But I hear God saying, get up on your feet, because I got blessing that won't cost you nothing. Tell your neighbor, my laying down days are over. I'm on my feet now because God got my blessing. No longer will I lay down, but I'm going to walk in my blessing. Yes! The doors of the church are open. Yes.